Mr. Franks, in his letter, I thought I would read the last couple of paragraphs as an introduction to the message today. He said, "I'm happy for anyone who can take the time during the summer to get away from all the pressure that we constantly face in society." He talked, had a couple paragraphs, and again, you can get that and read it, and read the entirety of the letter yourself. But said, "I know it isn't quite the same in other parts of the world as it is here in the United States, but having traveled throughout Africa and Latin America, I've seen the stress levels and the constant activity that have become part of our modern society in virtually all countries. It seems that everyone needs a break, a time of refreshing. We all need time when we can be rejuvenated physically and spiritually. Please enjoy your summer," he says. "Take some time to get away if possible, but never let down in spiritual growth." Never let down in spiritual growth. The Apostle Paul admonished the Ephesians and Colossians to be diligent and to redeem the time. Ephesians 5:16, Colossians 4:5. Prayer, meditation, and study are essential activities for every Christian and are just as important in the summer and while on vacation as they are during the rest of the year. The point of emphasis I wanted to emphasize there is that we never let down in our spiritual growth. Never let down in our spiritual growth. Do we think about, give thought to growing spiritually? Do we give thought to growing spiritually? Sometimes, you know, we grow physically. I typically do after a 4th of July reunion when there's pecan pie and date pudding. Now, many of you probably have never had date pudding, but it's, you know, in our reunions where there are a number of Amish, it's one of those dessert delicacies that everybody piles on their plate. And so we grow physically sometimes, certainly when we're young, we grow physically. But do we give thought to growing spiritually? Sometimes we see a young child and we haven't seen for a couple of years, and it seems like they all of a sudden sprouted up, and we make a comment, "Boy, you've really grown up." We see that physically. But do we do it, and do we grow spiritually? Do we think about and ever give thought and think, you know, so-and-so really grew spiritually, or I've grown spiritually? Do we give thought to that? You know, nature sets us a wonderful example of growth. Every week, my grass grows. Does your grass grow every week, it seems like? If I don't mow my grass, you know, it takes over. Or we've got a couple of blue spruces in our yard. And every spring, you know, you can see the growth in the blue spruces. And you might get a little 3-inch growth, or maybe sometimes up to 6 inches, which means that tree grows, you know, a foot around it in the spring. We see that physically. We have a wonderful example that nature sets us of growth. Do we grow spiritually that way? Do we ever give thought to and consider growing spiritually? Let's turn to the 2 Peter, last verse of Peter's letters here in 2 Peter chapter 3. And in verse 18, 2 Peter chapter 3, in verse 18, where Peter said, but grow. Let's go, we'll go back. We'll stop there for a moment and go back to verse 14 and pick up the story a little bit, where Peter said, "Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot, and blameless." Be diligent to be found by him without spot and blameless, and consider that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you. As also in his epistle, speaking in them of these things, in which are things hard to understand. Sometimes, you know, when we read through the epistles of Paul, there are, you know, sometimes the writing style and some of those things, as Peter said here, can be hard to understand. And, you know, it requires some in-depth study sometimes to understand, to put what Paul is saying. You know, Mr. Johnson in some of the epistles of Paul messages for FI talked about the fact that the Bible is a frame. It's like a frame, he said. And everything has to fit within that frame. So we have to understand sometimes what Paul is saying in his epistles. But Peter said, sometimes hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction. We see that sometimes, don't we? As they do also the rest of the scriptures. You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness. So Peter here was giving a warning that we should not fall from our steadfastness, to be careful of that. That we recognize that we too, if we're not careful, can fall from our own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked. We have to be careful of that. And then Peter said, but grow. One of the ways that we can make sure that we don't fall short here, we don't fall away, that we understand that we're not unstable people or untaught people and twist things to our own destruction. One of the ways that we do that is to grow. And I will finish that verse in a little bit, but to grow means to increase. To increase, that's what the word means, or to become greater, or to augment. Adam Clark's commentary says, increase in the image and favor of God. To increase, to grow, to increase in the image. And of course, favor, talking about grace there, as we'll get to in a minute, but in a little bit later in the message. But that we increase in the image. I thought that was an interesting statement. That we increase in the image of God. I'm working on a message on that particular subject that I'll give at some other time, on the subject of taking on God's nature, or becoming a reflection of God. That we increase in the image of God, and that we take on that image, and that people recognize us, or can recognize us in that way. That we take on the image and the nature of God. That we, like we do physically. You know, physically, many of us will look like maybe our somebody in our family. I went to a Mahoning Valley Scrappers game a year or so ago, and with a friend of mine, and he is always on Facebook and taking pictures, and took a picture of he and I and sent it and placed it on Facebook. And somebody wrote back to him and said, is that Levi sitting next to you? And I've been told I look like my dad. We take on our parents' nature, and the question we can ask sometimes is, do we take on our father's nature? Do we look like, spiritually, do we look like God? Are we developing and looking and becoming more and looking like God? Are we taking on His image? So when we talk about growing, we take on it to increase. It's to increase in His image, to grow more deeply in His image. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 10. We're to grow. We'll come back to 2 Peter 2:18, as I said, a little bit later in the message, and finish that particular verse. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 10 says this, that you may walk worthy of the Lord. That's a growth process for us, isn't it? That we may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. That we're to increase in the knowledge, that we're to be, it says, Paul said here in Colossians, being fruitful. We're to be fruitful. We're to develop fruits. We're to have fruits, aren't we? We're to have fruits of God's Holy Spirit. Fruits of God's Holy Spirit. Galatians chapter 5. Let's review those. We haven't done that in a while, perhaps. Let's review those. The fruits of God's Spirit. Question I might ask us is, do we know them? Do you know, can you recite the fruits of God's Spirit? I could challenge myself here. I could probably do it, but I may miss one. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, faithfulness, meekness, temperance or self-control. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22. Maybe it would be a good idea for us to make a list of these just to be sure. Put them somewhere, take a 3x5 card, put these on it, just to be sure that we have an understanding and that we have them continually ingrained in our minds to be able to reflect on, are we growing in these areas? Are we growing in love? I won't even have us hold our place here because we won't necessarily need to come back to it, but we'll read through them real quick. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. They're a little bit different in the Old King James Version. But we know these verses and we know these fruits, don't we? We talk about them from time to time. But again, it'd be a good idea for us to put them somewhere where we see them and reflect on them and make sure that we're growing in these areas, that we're growing in this spiritual fruit. Because what did we read there in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 10 that we read, that, you know, that we're, you know, being fruitful, so that we are being fruitful. So the first one that we read there is love. Love. Are we growing in love? We'll go through all of these and tie another scripture. They're all worthy of sermonettes or sermons even. And we've had them over the years. And maybe it's time to do that again. It's been a number of years, maybe since we've had a message on or gone through some of these. Matthew, so the first one is love. We'll just tie another scripture to all of these in the message today. Matthew chapter 22 and verse 37 through 39. Matthew chapter 22, verse 37 says, let's pick it up in verse 34. It says, when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him, saying, "Teacher, what is the great commandment of the law?" And Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." Are we growing in that? Is that something that we're developing and growing in? And it, verse 38 says, "And the first and great commandment," this is the first and great commandment, "and the second commandment is like it," just like it, "you shall love your neighbor as yourself." Now, you know, who's your neighbor? Well, I am, and you are. Are we learning? Are we growing in love? Is that part of our spiritual growth? Are we growing in love? The second one is joy. Joy. Love, joy. Let's, in that regard, turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. Back to the book of Peter, where we were earlier. 1 Peter, though, this time, chapter 1, in verse 7 and 8. We can ask ourselves, as we go through these, and we will, are we growing? Are we spiritually growing in these fruits? Bearing fruit or bringing fruit. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 7 says that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes. That's pretty precious, isn't it? The genuine faith is pretty precious. "Though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ," verse 8, "whom having not seen you love," whom having not seen you love, "though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory." Joy inexpressible. Do we have that kind of joy? Does God's fruit of joy, you know, do we rejoice, and is it in us inexpressible? Rejoice, of course, means to express joy. Joy inexpressible. Do we have that kind of, and are we developing and growing spiritually to develop that kind of joy? Of course, love, joy, peace. John chapter 14 and verse 27. John chapter 14 and verse 27. John chapter 14 and verse 27. Christ promised us peace. Christ said, "Peace I leave you. My peace I give you. Not as the world gives do I give you." Not in a worldly peace. "Let your heart not be troubled, neither let it be afraid." We can have peace. We can have peace. Are we growing in peace individually, spiritually? Are we growing in peace? Is that something that we're growing in? And do we extend that to others? So, because Christ promised, he said, "Peace I leave you. I leave with you." Christ promised to give us peace. Long-suffering. love, joy, peace, long suffering, Acts chapter 14 in verse 22. Acts chapter 14 in verse 22. Acts chapter 14, long suffering, meaning patience. I think the original King James might have used the word patience there. Long suffering. Acts 14 verse 22 says this: strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, and saying, "We must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God." It has to do with persevering. Persevering, staying with it, sticking with it, long suffering. We must through much or many tribulations, trials that we'll go through in life, enter the kingdom of God. Are we growing in that? Is that a spiritual growth area for us? Do we give thought to that? The next element or fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness. Kindness. We all know some people that are very kind. You ever know somebody and they just have an innate ability to be kind? Ephesians chapter 4, tie that Ephesians chapter 4 to this particular fruit. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32 says, "Be kind to one another." Let's pick that up in verse 25. Go back to verse 25. Says, "Therefore, putting away lying." Not very kind, is it? "Let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another." We're members of one another. We're in this together, aren't we? We're members of one another. "Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearer. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God." Sometimes we can do things that grieve the Holy Spirit, by what you were sealed. For the day of redemption, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Then Paul here said, be kind. Don't do these things, but be kind to one another. Tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. So we're to be kind to each other. Is that an area of growth for us? Are we growing spiritually in kindness and being kind to one another? So we have love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness. Goodness. Now, Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19 and verse 16 and 17. Matthew 19, verse 16. "Now behold, one came to him and said, 'Good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may enter, that I may have eternal life?' And he said to him, 'Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments. So no one is good but God, but we're striving, aren't we? We're developing the fruit. We're developing that God-like characteristic, aren't we? We're developing spiritually to learn to have goodness and to be good and to learn to have goodness in our life. So Christ said, no one is good but God, but we're working to be in his image. We're working to develop his nature. Are we growing spiritually in that area? So we have love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. Faithfulness. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We'll tie 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13 to that particular element or that particular fruit. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. Says, no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. You know, what we go through, the fight we fight, you and I, on a daily basis, on a weekly basis, we all go through those things, don't we? We all have challenges and trials and temptations in our life. I sometimes think that we're in a culture and in a time in history when more of that is before us than ever, perhaps. We see so much of it. God has blessed us so wonderfully in so many ways, and yet sometimes there are a lot of, you know, as we heard in the sermonette, giants to slay, so to speak, temptations before us. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man, but God is faithful. Again, this is a characteristic of God, to be faithful. Are we learning and growing in that area? Are we growing in faithfulness and being more faithful? Because God is faithful. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, as we read in Hebrews. He is consistent, isn't he, in what he does. And we're very fortunate. It's an area that we need to develop in. God is consistent in what he does, and we can count on it. So no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow us to be tempted beyond what we're able, but with that temptation will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. So God is faithful. We need to develop and learn and grow in that as well. The next fruit that we have love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. The King James Version used the word meekness. Are we growing in that fruit? Let's turn to James chapter 3 in verse 17. James 3 and verse 17. Scripture that we're pretty familiar with. We've gone over on numerous occasions over the years. The wisdom from above. Remember some years ago in one of the clubs I was in, we had to write an essay on this. The wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable. Then gentle. Do we approach things gently? Sometimes we can be, as human beings, rather harsh in the way that we approach things. I know I am at times. I catch myself can be rather harsh. Are we gentle? Do we approach things with gentleness? Because that's the wisdom from above, is to be able to approach and have gentleness. So we have love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. I have to make sure that I don't miss one of these when I go through them, so I'm flipping back in my notes. Self-control. Self-control has to do with, you know, making the right decision and doing the right thing at the moment of choice. It's really what the definition of self-control boils down to in many ways, is making right decisions at the moment of choice, doing the right thing. Hebrews chapter 4 in verse 15. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15. Excuse me. Hebrews 4 verse 15 says, "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses." We all have them, don't we? We all have weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. So we need to make sure that we can exercise that we self-control, that we can make the right decision at the moment of choice. And we all face those in a variety of ways every day. Every day we have moments of choice where we can choose to do right, choose to think right, choose not to. We have moments of choice every day. Do we exercise self-control? Are we growing in that? Is our habit to do the right thing? Is that our habit? To do and think, or think maybe, I should say think and do the right thing. Because oftentimes our actions follow our thoughts. So we need to grow in these fruits of God's Spirit, don't we? We need to grow in these fruits of God's Spirit. We read in Colossians, chapter 1 and verse 10 about being fruitful. Being fruitful, which means, you know, to be fertile. To be fertile, so, or to bring forth fruit. That's what it means to be fruitful. Are we growing in these fruits of God's Holy Spirit that God has given us? So we need to grow in the fruits of God's Spirit. Let's look at some other areas that we can consider and grow in. Let's turn back to 2 Peter chapter 3. Mentioned when we read through that earlier that we will be coming back to that to finish that particular verse. Let's go back to 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18 and finish the thought there, because Peter said, "But grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen." So we're to grow in knowledge. Now that requires one of the fundamental and basic elements that we constantly talk about almost on a weekly basis, and that is one of prayer and Bible study. That we grow in knowledge. Are we growing in knowledge? Do we have a plan to study our Bible, maybe to read it? Church has a lot of information available in a variety of ways. You know, we have that Bible reading plan. I don't know if you've taken advantage of that. It's an interesting plan, and it has been, I've found it the most helpful in that they have, it's not a Genesis. The one we have on Kagwa available right now is not a Genesis to Revelation reading plan. It kind of correlates the Bible. It harmonizes the Gospels, and it puts things in a little different order. And I found it to be real helpful, you know, for instance, in reading Acts and then going through some of the epistles of Paul as you go through the book of Acts and reading, you know, when in it, kind of in real time, when Paul would have written those things, or some of David's writing in the Psalms, when you take and go back into the First and Second Samuel and Chronicles, and then insert the Psalms in there in real time as David would have written them. I found it to be real beneficial and real helpful. But it's an area that we can grow in knowledge. We have a lot of study information available. The Weekly Foundation Institute, FI Online, that we can take advantage of and learn from. And they're all online. They don't. If you don't, you know, if you can't do it that week, very seldom have we gone through and done it. You know, it's not worked out for us to do it, I think, at 9 o'clock on a Thursday night or whenever it is. It's much more convenient for us to come back or maybe do last week's. But we finished most of them, not all of them yet, but we'll get there. But it's tremendous information that's available to us to give us knowledge, to help us to have the knowledge that we need to have to grow in grace and in knowledge. We have a lot of information available that we can take advantage of. Do we grow in that? But you know, brethren, a very wise man that we all remember used to say that knowledge is of value only as it is applied. Mr. Armstrong used to say that frequently, that knowledge is of no value unless we use it. So we study these subjects and we study these things, and then we grow, excuse me, we grow by putting it to practice in our lives. And we practice these things. Isaiah chapter 55. Seem to have a frog that has leapt into my throat here. Hopefully he'll leave or she'll leave. Isaiah chapter 55. We need to grow in knowledge. And we need to use that knowledge, don't we? Isaiah 55. And verse 6 through 9, Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 6 says, "Seek the Lord while he may be found." So we're to seek the Lord. Seek knowledge of the Lord. Grow in that, but grow in that knowledge. Call on him while he is near. Verse 7 says, "Let the wicked forsake his way, the unrighteous man his thoughts." So we are to forsake wickedness and unrighteousness. We're to practice these things that we learn. We're to seek the Lord. We're to grow in knowledge. And we're to forsake the wicked way and the unrighteousness. Let him return to the Lord, verse 7, and he will have mercy on him. God has been very merciful to us, hasn't he? I look back and look at some of the things in my life, and I can see that God has been most merciful to me. He's been to all of us. He's been merciful to us, hasn't he? And to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts, verse 8, are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. So we're working to grow and develop in these areas, aren't we? We're working to learn and to grow in having more godly thoughts. It's again a part of that having more of God's nature, being more like He is. We're growing in that area. We're not there because God says, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my thoughts and my ways higher than your ways." We're growing in that area, brethren, aren't we? And my thoughts than your thoughts. So God's thoughts are much higher than our thoughts, but we're learning and growing to have higher and better thoughts. To have more righteousness, to have the wickedness, to forsake our wickedness. We're growing in that area and working toward that. You see how my time is doing. I had Psalm chapter 139. I'm going to give you that as a reference. Psalm 139 and verse 1 through 18. Read that at some point in regards to growing in godly thoughts, growing in godly wisdom, growing in repentance, really, making real changes in our lives. Let's turn to Romans chapter 6, though. Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, verse 1 and 2 says, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin?" Again, we see that we're not to do that. Grace may abound, certainly not, Paul said in verse 2. We're not to continue in sin. We know that sin is the transgression of God's law, that all unrighteousness is sin. If we know to do good and don't do it, it's sin, it says. In the book of James, I think that is. So we're not to keep sinning. We're to grow beyond that, aren't we? So what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who are dead to sin live in it any longer? We're to come out of that. We're to grow out of that. Verse 12, drop down to verse 12, says, "Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey its lusts. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin. But present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God." Let me read that verse again. It says, "Do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members grow." But grow, Peter said. Grow your members as instruments of righteousness to God. So we're to grow beyond where we are. We're to grow in knowledge. Let's look at another element here. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Look at another element. We saw that we've gone through the fruits of the Spirit that we need to grow in. We've looked at the fact that we need to grow in knowledge and repentance. Hebrews chapter 12. In verse 5, Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 5 says, "You have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him." Verse 6 says, "For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives." contemporary English version says, but you have forgotten that the scripture says to God's children, when the Lord punishes you, don't make light of it. And when he corrects you, don't be discouraged. The Lord corrects the people he loves and disciplines those he calls his own. So the point here, of course, is that we need to grow in this correction, don't we? We need to grow to have God correct us and discipline us. So, and recognize, I guess maybe I should say, we need to recognize that when he does, that it is that when we get corrected, and we do get corrected from time to time, we do get correction, that God corrects the people he loves. God corrects us because he loves us, and he wants what's best for us. We need to grow in that way and grow in the understanding of that. Just an element that I thought I'd touch on briefly, that we need to grow in that area, grow in the area of being corrected, and ask God to help us to see where we need correction in our lives so that we can grow in it. So we need to ask God to do that for us. Let's look at another element, Deuteronomy chapter 16. Deuteronomy chapter 16 and verse 17. Deuteronomy chapter 16, another area that we can and need to consider and grow in. Deuteronomy chapter 16 and verse 17. This is a scripture that we're pretty familiar with. We read it quite often, at least almost every holy day. But I want to focus on something here. I'm just going to read the first few words, actually. It says, "Let every man shall give as he is able." Every man shall give as he is able. Are we growing in giving? I'm not just looking at and thinking about and talking about monetarily. We give monetarily, but when we can, I'm sure, we give as we're able. You know, but what do we give? What do we have to give? You know, some of us may have physical resources, money to give. Some of us may have, the precious resource of time to give. Are we growing in the area of giving and in giving to one another and in giving in general? Brethren, all of us have words of encouragement to give. You know, some of us do that better than others, but all of us can learn to give encouragement. We have that to give. All of us can pray for one another. Do we pray for one another? All of us have that to give. We have prayers to offer to God for one another. Do we do that? Do we have that? Do we give that to each other? Are we growing in the area of giving? Let's look at a couple of principles in regard to giving. Look at a couple of scriptures in regards to this area. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Look at a couple of scriptures in regards to giving. Again, this is a scripture that we often read at the time of a holy day offering, but it's a principle that needs to be a part of us. Are we growing in the area of giving? We can ask ourselves that question. Paul said, "Let each one give as he purposes in his heart." How do I purpose in my heart to give? how do we purpose in our heart to give? Not grudgingly, not of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. So are we growing in that area? Again, not just monetarily, not just in the monies that we have. Some of us have less, some of us have more. We give as we're able in that way, but there are things that all of us can give. Maybe make a list of things that we can give that are not monetary, that we can give perhaps time, perhaps helping each other out. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 24. All of us have a lot to offer and to give to one another. Are we growing? Is that an area of growth for us? Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 24 says, "There is one who scatters yet increases more, and there is one who withholds more than is right, but it leads to poverty." I like the way the Contemporary English Version puts that. It says, sometimes you can become rich by being generous or poor by being greedy. Sometimes you can become rich by being generous or poor by being greedy. What's our attitude about and toward giving? Do we give and have an attitude, a generous attitude about giving? Are we growing in that area where Peter said, but grow? Is that an area that we're growing in? Well, brothers and sisters, as it says in the New Revised Standard Version, the King James uses the word brethren in many occasions. The New Revised Standard says brothers and sisters. I know I've heard some ministers say fellow family members. Brethren, we are to grow spiritually. We are to be fruitful. To be fruitful. Let's look at a couple of scriptures and see where growth comes from. Where our growth comes from. Peter said, but grow. But grow. Mr. Franks has encouraged us to continue to grow spiritually. We've seen in the scriptures, in 2 Peter and in 1st, and rather in Colossians chapter 1. Let's turn to Colossians chapter 2. But in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 10, that we're to be fruitful. We're to grow. We're to be fertile. To be fruitful means to be fertile, to have, to be the black soil where God can plant and things can grow. We ever see black soil? Sometimes you drive through this part of the country and world, and you can see fertile ground where things grow, where God grows things to feed the world, many in the world. Fertile ground. Are we fertile, fruitful, where things can grow? Where these elements, these areas that we talked about, the fruits of the Spirit, and knowledge and giving can grow. Colossians chapter 2. You're probably all there. I'm not. So Colossians chapter 2 and verse 18 and 19. We can see where growth comes from. Colossians chapter 2 verse 18 says, "Let no one cheat you of your reward, taking delight in false humility and worship of angels, intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and holding fast to the head, from whom all the body, nourished, knit together by joints and ligaments, grows with the increase that is from God." The increase The growth comes from God. We have to be fertile so that we have to be fruitful, fertile, so that there is ability for God to give increase, so that we can grow in these fruits of God's Spirit, that we can grow in knowledge, that we can grow in other areas in our life, including the area of accepting and taking correction, and including the area of being generous and giving. Deuteronomy chapter 7, final scripture that we'll turn to today. Deuteronomy chapter 7, where we see where growth comes from. That we can grow because we become fertile, and when God plants, things can grow. We become fertile, we can become fertilized. Deuteronomy chapter 7, and we'll begin reading in verse 12, says, "It shall come to pass, because you listen to these judgments and keep and do them." So again, we're talking about knowledge, growing in knowledge, but not only growing in knowledge, it says to keep. We don't just do it to puff ourselves up, to be knowledgeable, but to keep and do them. That the Lord your God will keep with you the covenant and the mercy which he swore to your fathers. He will love you and bless you and multiply you. Love, bless, multiply. God gives growth if we're fertile. And if we're fertile and are willing to allow him to. He will also bless the fruit of your womb and the fruit of your land, your grain and your new wine and your oil, and increase your cattle and your offspring of your flock in the land which he swore to your fathers to give you. So, brethren, we've looked at several things in several areas today where we can grow. Let's consider, brethren, are we being fruitful? Are we growing spiritually?